Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
But one of my favorite books is Romans, of course, the book of Romans. And Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite passages that I've gone through and gone over so many times in my life. There's so many scribbles and so many notes there that God took me back there. And I just want us to spend some time this morning going through it and unpacking this and get into a place where we can understand or get a little bit of clarity as to how God works. You see, as I was sitting in the throne room with Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit whispers to me this terminology: vision brings transition. Vision brings transition. And as the week unfolded, so I started to understand, okay, this is what we're talking about. So I've actually titled my message, Vision Brings Transition, Embracing Change with Faith. Embracing change with faith. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive into the scripture and just unpack it in different translations. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. It is so tangible at the moment. We thank you, Father, that you have just blessed us with such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful presence as we worshiped and adored you. And we just pray, open our ears and open our hearts. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you want to say to us today. May we leave this place filled to overflowing with hope for the future, because you remain on the throne, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8:28. And I'm reading from the ESV first. And it says this: and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It's a well-quoted scripture. It's a well-said scripture. Something that we keep on flipping back to every now and again. But I love how the Passion Translation puts it differently. So that's going to be on the screen. And we're going to read it together, but we're also going to dissect it. So we are convinced. I love it. We are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. In our journey of faith, we encounter pleasant seasons and we encounter yucky seasons. We encounter calm sea seasons and we encounter rough sea or stormy sea seasons. We encounter the beautiful, luscious green, and then we also encounter the dull seasons of barrenness. This week, actually, I drove out of our driveway and I looked at the tree at the roundabout, and it's actually changing its colors already. I'm like, hello, it's still summer. It's not autumn yet. Anyway, just moving on. But these are the different seasons that we're going through. But you know what? At the end of the day, nothing is a surprise for God. Nothing is a surprise for God. God is the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's already in tomorrow. That decision that you need to make about this week, that crucial decision you need to make, he already knows the decision you're going to make. He already knows the outcome of the circumstance that you're facing. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. So that should give us peace immediately when we're facing a circumstance that I don't have to worry, I don't have to be concerned, because he's already there and he already knows the outcome. And because he's there and he knows the outcome, I'm going to be okay. That's how we got through the 22 weeks without a salary. So I'm speaking from experience. But if we look at the scripture and we unpack the scripture, it says that we are convinced that every detail, can we have that scripture back up there, please? Eileen, that'll be great. Every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. Let's just stop there. Every detail. Now, if you know what weaving is all about, you've got all these threads coming down out of all these different colors, and the person who's doing the weaving then weaves it through, pushes it up. And I believe that when I read this, the picture that I'm getting is that when we make a choice or we go through a situation that is not part of His perfect plan, there's another thread that comes alongside this, but He doesn't discard it. He doesn't chop it off. He doesn't throw it away. He takes that piece of yarn as well, and He weaves it into this beautiful tapestry that He is weaving of your life. Nothing is lost. He uses all things. Nothing is lost. He takes that, and He takes, you know, that financial difficulty you went through, He takes that and He weaves it in. You know, maybe you went through a relationship breakup. He takes that. Maybe financially, maybe it was illness. He takes that, but He weaves it into His perfect plan, because it says here, He says, God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. That's His purpose, of bringing good into our lives. Why? For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His designed purpose. At the end of the day, He wants you and I to fulfill His designed purpose for us. Is this helping? Yeah. He wants us to fulfill. So Psalm 139, one of my favorite quotes. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He wrote all the days of your life in His book before there was one. Those days that He wrote, that's the purpose that He wants you to fulfill over here. That's the purpose He has. Because He says, for He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. From the beginning. It's not like an afterthought, this is what I want to do. From the beginning, before you were even born, before you were even thought of, before your parents, He already destined for you and for me from the beginning to share the likeness of the Son. Why? Because we will become just like Him. So in each season that we are, there's one common denominator. It's called change. And change means we are being changed so that we can fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives from glory to glory. We become more and more Christ-like. The change has to take place. Now, between where we are and where we are headed, there's a period called transition. So I'm over here. I have a vision. I want to get over there. But between here and there, this period here is called transition. Transition means change. Transition means change. Change can be daunting. Change can be filled with uncertainties. But without transition, we will never embrace the vision. And I'm not just talking about the vision for this church. I'm talking about your personal vision. I'm talking about your children's vision. I'm talking about the vision that you have for the generations to follow you, that legacy. Nothing, if there's no transition, everything means zilch, nothing. Everything you do. For the vision, there needs to be transition, because without transition, we will never embrace the vision. Now, let me unpack this. Let's look at the word vision. What is vision, JJ? Glad you asked. Good question. Vision is the divine revelation of God's purposes for our lives. Vision is the divine revelation of God's purposes for our lives. In other words, a God vision is more than a mere dream or aspiration. Hello? There's a supernatural element to God's vision for you. It's a divine revelation, a supernatural revelation of God's purposes. You see, vision serves as a guiding light in the darkness of uncertainty. Vision provides clarity amongst confusion. Vision brings direction amongst aimlessness. Vision brings hope amongst despair. Vision is integral in our lives. And throughout Scripture, we see where God has imparted to His servants, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, the prophets, where He has imparted to them the transition and the transformation so that they can fulfill His purpose. He's given them the vision, but He's helped them through the transition. He's helped them through the transformation. So what is transition? Transition is the bridge between our present reality and the fulfillment of God's vision for us. That's transition. Like a caterpillar. A caterpillar is a caterpillar. It's a worm. But then it goes into a cocoon. There's transformation that happens. The metamorphosis, is that the right word? Yeah, thank you very much. Metamorphosis happens within the cocoon, but it comes out of that cocoon as a butterfly. That process is transition. Transition is not easy, and I want to acknowledge that. I know we've been there not once, not twice. We've been there myriads of times, and we are currently all, I think, right now in a season of transition, every single one of us. But you know what? Transition requires us to let go of the familiar and the present to embrace the future. Transition also requires us to step out in faith and face the unknown. It's in these moments of transition that God highlights areas of insecurity that He wants us to grow. It's in the transition that God refines our character. It's in the transition that God strengthens our faith. And ultimately, this is the purpose. He shapes us into His vessels, to become more and more in His likeness and into vessels that carry His glory. Transition. Transition stirs up fear, and transition stirs up anxiety. But and we may, through that all, we may question our abilities, and we may question the abilities of others, and we may question, are we in the right place, and did we make the right decision? Hello, I questioned it this week and last week. I questioned it. Why? Because I'm human. Human. Any aliens sitting in this room? I hope not. We're all human. So this is okay. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we even doubt God's faithfulness or purposes. But here's the thing. Why do we ask all these questions? Why do we experience this anxiety? I can jump up and down because it's not making so much noise today. Why do we experience all this? Because of the fear of the uncertainty of the future. But God... Because God calls us to trust in His promises. You see, if we go back to our scripture says that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. That is a promise. Doesn't matter what you go through, He's going to weave it into His perfect plan. It doesn't matter what you experience, He's going to weave it into His perfect plan. His perfect plan never changes. That is a promise that we can stand on. That's a promise, folks, that you and your family and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren can stand on for all eternity until He comes and fetches us back. It's woven together. It takes everything. Everything, continually. Say the word continually. It's not every now and again when He feels like it. He's continually weaving this into His perfect plan. The good, the bad, the ugly, the distressing, the unknown. He takes it, but the plan remains the same. Here's another promise. When you trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions, and with all your heart you rely on Him to guide you, what is the promise? He will lead you in every decision you make. I don't know what to decide. Should I marry her or shouldn't I marry her? Should I buy this car? Shouldn't I buy this car? Should I do? Guess what? Go to Jesus. He will help you make those decisions. He will guide you. It says there, with all your heart, rely on Him to guide you. He will lead you in every decision you make. Here's another promise. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will Himself fight on your behalf. That is a good scripture to memorize.
Deuteronomy 1:30 it says, if you want to write down that scripture, stick it on your mirrors, stick it on your car dashboard, stick it on your phone, wherever, stick it everywhere. Guess what? He himself will fight on your behalf. He has another promise. I will go before you and I will level the mountains. My goodness, do we need mountains level right at this point in time? I will break down gates of bronze and I will cut through bars of iron. Isaiah 45:2. That is a good scripture. And I can give you 8,810 other promises. Because that is how many promises are in the Bible for you and I to stand on. I counted them this week. No, I didn't. I didn't. I'd still be counting. But you know, you just go Google. You know Google? Yeah, Google. Right. So I went and Googled. And Google says, the scholars are saying between 7,000 and 8,000 promises in the Bible. So here it comes. As you navigate all transitions, you can navigate with courage and confidence. All we need to do is anchor ourselves in faith in God's unchanging love and sovereignty, knowing at all times He has our best interests at heart. Okay, Pastor JJ, what you trying to say to me, man? I'm glad you asked. I'm not trying to say anything. What I am trying to encourage you today, in the circumstance that you find yourself personally, in the circumstance that we find ourselves corporately, worry less and believe more. That's a good word. Say to your neighbor, worry less and believe more. Say to your other neighbor, did you hear that? Turn up your hearing aids. Worry less and believe more. Hello. You see, throughout the Bible, we have examples of vision-driven transition. You want to hear some? Abraham. I didn't wait for you. Yes, I just thought you would want to hear some. But anyway, Abraham, he journeyed to the promised land. In Genesis 12:1, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, go. Don't we hate that word, go? Go means transition. Go and make disciples. Ooh. I'm just going somewhere. All right, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Do you know that there was a lot of uncertainty in that little scripture right there? Okay. Abraham's obedience, though, his obedience to God's vision led to the fulfillment of the promise of the promised land. Moses leading the Israelites out. Again, Exodus 3:10. So now go. There's the word again. Now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, oh my goodness, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses' vision of liberation transformed the lives of the Israelites, and you and I are standing here today because they went into the promised land. You see, God is famous for caring and preparing us for greater things. Hello? Is anybody receiving this? God is good. God is famous. God is brilliant. God is excellent for caring and preparing all of us for greater things. He walks ahead to fight the battles that we fear. He calms the seas that we convince that we're going to drown in. He softens the blows we worry will take us down. He knows our road. Why? He knows the hairs on our head. I'm losing them slowly, but he knows them. And he knows how to lead us through each one of those roads. You see, the process of transition, we would like that to be a straight line, A to B. Who knows when you drive from here to the city, there's not just, unless you climb on a helicopter and you just fly straight, you know, it's like this, yeah? Like this, traffic lights. You know that you get those people that can't merge, yeah? You know that these are all trials and tribulations. You know that your character's being tested. I'm speaking to myself right now. And every time I get to the other side, when I get to B, eventually, I've got to confess before I go into meetings. That's transition. Transition is not straight, A to B. Unfortunately, I would love it to be that way. Transition is marked by highs and lows and victories and setbacks. But God... His plan remains the same. You want some reassurance? More reassurance? I saw one hand. So you're going to get it. Check the Bible. In the Bible, the Israelites, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, even though it was an 11-day trip. Talk about stupid. But still, they entered the promised land. Hello? Joseph had a dream. His dream got him thrown into the pit. he was a slave. He was in prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison. But guess what? His dream came to life. His dream came to fulfillment because his brothers came bowing down to him, and he became the governor preparing Egypt for one of the greatest famines. God's plan was fulfilled. The disciples. Jesus is crucified. What happened? They scatter. What happens? They're in fear. They're in doubt. Why? Because there was so much unknown. Their rock, the one that they were walking with constantly, is totally taken away. But God still used them to plant, to birth the church and advance his kingdom, which we continue to do today. You and me, we will be facing challenges along the way. Yes, and it's in these moments that God invites us to draw closer, to seek his wisdom, to seek his counsel, to seek his guidance, to persevere in faith, to stand on promises. What am I trying to suggest today? Vision and transition go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. So how do we go through transition? How do we go through transition? How do you think? Pray. You were waiting for the 6 steps, weren't you? Yeah. No. Pray. What do you mean? I got to get on my knees? Uh-huh. Pray. How do we corporately get through transition? Pray. How do we personally get through transition? Pray. Okay, I know that, JJ. But you know what? My prayers are not effective. Oh, you know what? When I pray, it feels like I'm praying against the ceiling. I've heard this over and over. I've even said this sometimes. It feels like I don't see results when I pray. It feels like the word futile comes to mind when I think of prayer. But I've got some good news for you. I've got some more good news for you. Let's go back to our scripture. If you've got your finger there, Romans 8, but this time verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. It's going to be on the screen. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but, everybody say but, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Here's a question. What do you think is the key word in that verse? Let me help you. Likewise, the Spirit helps, keyword, us in our weakness. Thanks, Eileen. You can put up the next one. This is help in the Greek. I tried to get that word out. Anyway, I'm not doing it any favors. But helps, that word helps means to take hold with at the side. Hence, to take a share in, to take hold of anything with another. The Holy Spirit helps. Now, read that in context. He helps. He comes alongside the person. He does not take the load by himself, but he helps the other person in their endeavor. The Amplified Version says, if you can just keep that up there, please, Eileen, that would be great. The Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication. In other words, our supplication is already made, and he goes to meet our supplication. And then the Amplified says, and pleads not on our behalf, but in our behalf. Play of words. But this is important. You see, he meets our supplication. Our supplication is done, but he pleads in our behalf, not for us, but with us in our supplication. Now, this Greek word, this very Greek word here, is also found in Luke 10, verse 40, where Martha and Mary, you know the Martha Mary story? And Martha wanted Mary to come and help, that's the word help. What Martha was actually wanting to happen was Martha would continue preparing the meal, but needed Mary to come and help her in the preparations. It's the same word. The word, the help, does not indicate that the Holy Spirit prays instead of us. This is important to know. He doesn't pray instead of us, but the Holy Spirit takes part with us. Holy Spirit actually comes and makes our weak prayers that we think are ineffective, effective. He takes our unpowerful prayers, which we think are unpowerful, and he makes them powerful. Dunamis power is included in your prayers, but you need to be doing the praying. We have to get this. We have to get this. The church has to get this. The Spirit helps. This was the revelation for me, because I always get stuck at Romans 8:28. But when you read this in context, you get a different side. And when you do word studies, this is what you get. The Spirit helps, not the Spirit replaces. You see, the church up until now has thought, the church, capital T, capital T, not Pneuma East. I know we're brilliant, but not Pneuma East. The church, the guys out there, they come to the point where they think they can just sit back and relax. And I thought that way when I was a younger Christian. I can sit back and relax because I understand from the Scripture, and it has been preached, that the Holy Spirit is continuously interceding for me. Actually, what the connotation was, that he's interceding instead of me, in my place. But it's not true. It's not true. You see, when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, when you're not able to put into words, don't be silent. Still pray and pray and pray and pray. But know in that moment, as you are interceding, the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf. He's super. In other words, like I said, it's your prayers, and then all of a sudden, dunamis is admitted to that, and your prayers become in line with the Word of God. Is this helping anybody? Conclusion. Conclusion is this. As we reflect on him, he has a question for you. As a family, in the season that you're finding, in your new Chinese New Year, in the corporate season that we're finding, as we reflect on this profound truth that vision brings transition, can you and I open our hearts to the transformation power of God's vision for your life and my life for the future that lies ahead? That's a question for you. Can we in this time lay down and go, our vision, because he guides our steps, lay down our vision and say, God, we want your vision. Where do you want us to take up? What do you want us to take up in this time? You see, God's vision doesn't change. So it's important that we partner with him in his vision to see his kingdom come and his will be done. Where there's unity, there's power. Yes? The kids, as youth, on Friday they had fun. They went and bought a tug of war rope. Yeah, I don't know how, I've heard some stuff. I've seen some videos. I'm like, okay, they had fun. Did you clean up the warehouse? Jay was like, yes, very much so. But you think about tug of war. If there's one side, one person on this side, and there's five people on that side. Well, let's put it this way. If there's a 5-ton brick over here, and there's one person trying to move that brick from there to here, is that going to happen? No. But if we all take hold of that rope, that brick becomes as light as a feather. Can you? I'm not saying you must. Can you embrace God's vision? Have you got a vision for your life? I hope the answer is yes. Have we got a vision for Pneuma East? The answer is yes. Shared a little bit about it on the 28th of January. But your vision, Pneuma East's vision, requires transition. Does God have a vision for his church? Yes. But we need to go through transition to become more and more Christ-like, because that's part of his goal. How do we deal with transition? Pray, pray, pray. Pray and pray again. Did I mention the word pray? Yeah, pray. 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 You see, Proverbs 16:9 says this: within your heart you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there. You can make the plans, but he chooses the steps, the transition. He chooses the transition to help you get there. So my encouragement is this. As we wrap up today, we can have a little bit of music at the end. Thanks, Alvin. This is if the team can get ready. I don't know what song we're singing, but we're going to sing a song just to end up with. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Can I get some amens at the top there? He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who leads us through every season of transition with grace and mercy. I wrote this, as we journey together, not necessarily, I'm not talking about the current circumstances or situation that we're facing. As we journey, as we see your children grow up, as we start marrying your children, in other words, we're older, okay? That's what I'm trying to say in a nice way. As we start seeing our youth become the young adults and our young adults become the young families. My heart, Paulina's heart, is that we will transition well. We will journey well. Our lives will be a testament to the transformative power of God's vision. Our prayer is that as we journey well, as we go through transition well, there will be hope released. There will be healing released. There will be redemption released. There will be people come to know Jesus. There will be people that will be unbound. In other words, they've been in shackles. They've been in chains from the past. Past hurts. Past disappointments. That there will be freedom. That's the word I'm looking for. There will be freedom in the house.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.